Yes, morning everyone. It is Thursday, March 28. Easter's upon us. The Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. Good morning wherever and however you are listening. Please travel safe over the course of the Easter weekend. Bumper weekend of sport as always. Starting tonight, we've got a great match at Allianz Stadium in the NRL. The Roosters up against the Panthers. We've got a grand final rematch in the AFL at the Gabba as well. And two teams, well, it's getting towards desperation point for Collingwood at 0-3. And the Lions have started 0-2 themselves. Brisbane and Collingwood there tonight. Big game at the Gabba. And the Tasmania Jack Jumpers tonight can clinch their first NBL title in just their third season of existence. And as Loz said yesterday, it's possibly the greatest triumph, or would be the greatest triumph in a national competition in the state's history. And Michael is going to the IPL as well. Pup.
Michael, I thought you were going to call me Michael John. Michael John Clark. That's what Mum calls me when I'm in deep trouble.
Right. Okay.
Good morning.
When was the last time you were in deep trouble? With
she called me Michael John lady. Yesterday.
Oh, what did you do?
Something I should have done that I forgot to do that she reminded me about 15 times and I still forgot. Laziness, she called it. It's just laziness, Michael John.
She's not angry, just
she's
100%
disappointed. Right. Nah, she's pissed. She's angry. Anyway, I'll do it today.
You'll lift.
Yeah, morning. Yeah,
you'll be
she's
back.
Right. It was laziness. I couldn't be bothered. I had other things to do and I'd prioritize those. But yeah. Yeah, plenty of sport. Yeah, I'm on a plane. I fly tomorrow, but I'll still be on air.
Yep.
Not every day, but I'll be. Yeah. Time difference probably doesn't help me. The IPL, but
lots of flights too. Is there
lots of flights? So games finish at about midnight their time, and that'll give me about half an hour to get back to the hotel and be with you two clowns.
Working hard,
man. I'm on the tools. No Vegas junket like Loz. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
You might have said that out loud, Michael. Morning, everybody.
Morning, buddy.
Junket was a junket.
Yeah, junket's correct.
Vegas was very good. I had to work. And
have
it was
you
tough
recovered?
Working over
have,
there.
You, have you come down?
I don't know
how
whether
you?
I've seen you. I've seen you since I got back from Vegas.
Well, no, because my first day back on was Friday. You had the charity golf day.
Yeah.
And then where
I got
were
the
we?
Flu.
Oh, you got sick as
I
well,
sick.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, knocked me around. Actually, the flu.
Wow.
I had COVID twice. My flu.
Was worse.
Was worse. It was influenza A, but it just knocked me around.
Flying,
for at least a week.
Told you, underrated, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flying takes more out of you than I reckon anyone gives credit for.
Yeah, no, I thought I was going to be all right, but I obviously picked up something over there. But
time difference.
Just makes me
as well.
Tougher and stronger. That's what happened. It's the flu season, so I should go and get my flu shot, shouldn't I?
What are your thoughts on the flu shot?
Nah.
Yeah, I'll be getting it.
Yeah, see, I'm...
Had it once, got dreadfully sick when I was 15,
so
I brushed it.
Then. Yeah, well, I can understand that. But no, I like to get
like
my
to
flu
get
shot.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd rather be safe. You know, I know there's a lot of...
I had all... You know, you got to have... Well, when I was playing, you just... Team doctor just says you're due for your needles. And lines you up, you have about 7 jabs and you're good to go for 3 years or 5 years. Before I went to Pakistan, I forgot that I hadn't travelled for so long. So I had 9 different injections.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah, I know. So.
In the arm or all over the body?
No, I'd one in the butt.
Yeah.
One in the right butt cheek, yeah.
What was that for?
I think I did typhoid in the butt cheek. But yeah, I was all jabbed out.
Right.
I know where you're going here.
No, I was just asking. I don't know. I haven't been
so
jabbed
I'm
in the butt.
Sweet I've for a few years.
Usually just get them in the...
In the shoulders.
In the
yeah, but because I had them all in one go,
yeah.
I was all shouldered out. Both shoulders.
Yeah, did your shoulder be sore? Your arm
well,
be
I had
sore.
Both. Yeah. You know what? I didn't feel... I felt normal. Like, I trained that afternoon. I didn't feel sore the next day.
Well, they
tell you not to train.
Yeah. It's like when you give blood. You've got to be careful.
And then I didn't have, like, normally typhoid's normally the one that you get a bit of numbness the next day.
Although I think if you needled or given blood and you wait, I think it's more about you can do cardio, but you can't lift.
Lift, yeah.
Yeah, because if you lift, you're putting yourself at risk.
Yeah. Rather
causing, than sorry. Causing a hematoma.
Mm. Oh, there we go.
There's a big word.
Dr. Daly.
Yeah. Spell it.
Who's winning tonight in the league?
Ah, Roosters.
You reckon?
Yeah. They are a great bet, actually.
Oh,
I know. I don't know. How bad's that? Riding off, not riding off the Panthers, but being confident about betting against the Panthers. But
I think I'm on the Panthers.
You go broke tipping against the Panthers over the last 4 years, but I'm sort of in Middo's camp. Well, it won't surprise me if Penrith win because they've done it for 4 years now. Just whoever's out, someone else jumps in and the system beats the opposition. But the Roosters are playing confident footy and they're at home. Mm. Without Nathan Cleary, I'm tending to lean the Roosters' way. Yeah, so I'll be going.
I'm
the
going against you there, and I'm going to go against you in Brisbane Cowboys. Mm. I'm going to go now that Reynolds is back. I'm going to go the Bronx to beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, there'll be a few upsets this weekend. Now, someone told me last night. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not. You'd be able to bring up the price here, Mido, and I should know because I was on NRL 360 last night giving out the prices. But I didn't mention the Raiders-Sharks game. Are the Raiders $2.60?
The Raiders are $2.40 and 40. Cronulla are $1.58. $3.50.
Now, that surprises
me. The line there.
With all the injuries that the Sharks have got.
Yeah, home game. It's pretty tight market still, lots. Like, it's only $3.50.
That's the Raiders' strength, isn't it?
Hey, you reckon play that's fair?
Middle. It's the great intangible in sport, the home ground advantage.
Yeah, I wonder how much weight they actually put in them like when they're framing the market. Because Hemlin, Ueli, Royce Rudolph. Hunt, Rudolph, and Dale Finucane, they're four big, not all starting, but four big forwards that are in your regular 17 out.
So it tells me you're quite confident.
Well,
about
just
the
on the
winning this
just
game.
On form, I'm just looking at it going
on the Raiders for sure. They just lost to the Tigers.
Yep, they'll bounce back,
mate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, look at their forward pack still: Hazelton, Brayley, Kafuski, Talakai's moved to the back row with Teague Wilton, Cam McInnes.
Steady.
It's still a pretty. I know that they're missing some boppers there, but that's still a pretty serviceable forward pack, you would say.
Oh, it's serviceable, no doubt. They're very good players, but I just think the Raiders are playing good footy. Yeah. Tough
I'm
footy.
I'm on the Raiders tonight. I'm on the Raiders this week for sure.
Okay.
I just thought when they told me last night, I was shocked that would be the price difference between the two teams. I thought it would be a lot closer. In fact, I thought the Raiders might have been favourites.
Okay, well, there you go. That's a bet for you then. You see the value. Yeah. Morning, lads. Just seeing if Sky Radio has changed its frequency. I'm listening to Dr. Pup and Dr. Loz. Happy Easter, lads, says Ryan.
Righto, that's not a bad idea. It could be a segment. We could definitely have a little segment, I reckon.
Yeah.
Dr. Doolittle.
Nothing quite like listening to two Australian sporting legends talking about their...
Mate,
being
underrated.
Inoculated.
Underrated, mate.
I'm not going to say what I was
going
to
say. Common sense. Common sense, very common in this studio.
Can we get a bit more of this in India
as well?
Oh yeah, who's the line? Is that the line?
So I don't know what is it? You didn't hear what happened.
No.
So firstly, I didn't know which team the lion was the mascot for, and secondly, I was asking a lion a question. The lion couldn't talk.
Oh, right. Well, we saw it here in the studio.
Yeah.
We saw him come on into the screen.
We had the TV
and we're thinking,
ever.
Geez, the pup. Wonder what he's saying to the lion.
Mate. The lion was having a dance off. He wanted to dance.
Right.
The two ladies I was with wanted to dance.
Yep.
I was like, we are on television. There'll be no dancing. And I'm sober.
Yeah.
So there'll definitely be no dancing.
Well,
look at my outfit. Look at my kit.
Yeah, it's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
So will you wear similar?
Yeah.
Similar.
I think we wear,
India.
In India, if I remember correctly, you wear your own chinos. But they give you the shirt. And it's like a...
Is it a robe?
Nah. It's actually like a vest. Like a,
nothing wrong with vests.
It's a sleeveless. So you got a long sleeve shirt underneath, and then that on top.
Right.
In traditional Indian get up.
Yeah.
So I think we all wear, and so every commentator is wearing the same clothes.
Yeah.
You just pick your color of your chino, really.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, we wear
right.
that, and then for the finals, they normally give you traditional Indian, like something you might see at a. a party or a wedding or that's what we same as Pakistan in the PSL in the final. That's like that's what a lot of people wear to weddings. People.
Now this might be a ridiculous question.
I'm sure it will be, but go on.
No,
love it when you preface that.
No. Well,
go. How much am I getting paid?
I would not ask you that question.
Not on air anyway.
Not on air. No, I'll ask you that out the back later. I think I just need to check this question with HR before I ask it. So,
is it about my personal life? Am I going on my own?
No, it's probably a tough one to ask. So I'll stay away from that question, Jared.
Yep.
So no I won't even go there because I don't want to get myself in trouble.
No, it's good.
I'm glad.
That's
Thank
a good
you.
Idea.
Thank you for thinking before idea. Speaking. Because if you're worried about it, I would definitely be worried about
it. Well, usually it would just come out of my mouth.
Oh, thank
and then
you for
I
not
just
asking.
Checked what's... myself and thought, I won't go down that path.
I like it.
Yeah, I need HR to
good
I'll
idea.
Tell you what, on it first. We're going to go early, Loss. Yeah. We are going to go early. Dicko's up and about. The multi. We're doing the multi on Thursday. It is open.
Boys.
It is in its usual spot on the Tab app and Tab website. Click on sport and today's offers. The Big Sports Breakfast Best. Loz for Easter weekend. The multi is in form.
Is this
Coming
yours?
Coming off a $10 winner. Well, apparently it's a team multi.
It's a team multi. It's a team multi. Now, what happened yesterday, because I didn't know I was going to do a multi, all right, they put it on me at the last moment. So I had to scratch around. So I've gone with something I think is a certainty tomorrow. And they believe it's one of the best horses to come out of New Zealand. So, or Kestrel, race 7, number 1, or Kestrel to win.
It's in the Vinery Stud Stakes, the Group 1 for the fillies over the 2,000
And because that's
meters.
Very short, I've had to try and find some
bit of substance.
Value, bit of substance, you know. So what I've done is I've gone race 4, number 11, High Dandy. And I like the name of High
Don't
Dandy.
Don't mind High Dandy either.
To run top 4.
In the Tullock.
Mm.
So for the 3-year-olds potentially heading towards a derby next week, High Dandy by Ace High, which won a derby, won the Victoria Derby from memory.
I'm into breeding.
So I'm still a little confused. Bloodlines, Mido, is bloodlines. This your multi?
Yeah, no, it's a team thing.
Who's the team?
Mido, myself. I didn't... Worry about consulting you.
That's a good decision.
Marlo's
involved.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. You asked me if I'd got any mail yesterday, and I gave you a horse, and you brushed it.
Yeah, I did. Well, that's what you do. You put a bit of burly out.
You absolutely brushed it.
And I was under pressure, too.
Yeah.
So you got others to blame.
I actually like it, though. Well, I need to go and have a bit of a look at High Dandy's last start, but certainly Orchestral putting
horse.
That in.
Okay,
there you go. Mm. So High Dandy, top
What's it
four
paying,
in the Tullock.
Mido?
Orchestral to win the Vinery. Orchestral's $1.60, I think, when I last checked for the Vinery. Yes, $1.60. Zardozzi, the threat at $4.20. Yeah. But it is $5. $5, the multi open, $5. Tab app, tab website, under today's offers. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Okay, this AFL story. Extraordinary stuff, really. Front page of the Herald Sun today. AFL drug free-for-all. Back page of the Australian. A mechanism to cover up abuse and revealed AFL's drug free-for-all is back page of the Daily Telegraph as well today. So... the league responded yesterday with a statement defending its illicit drugs policy, saying it's, quote, unapologetic about club and AFL doctors taking the correct steps to ensure that any player who they believe has an illicit substance in their system does not take part in any AFL match and that doctor-patient confidentiality is upheld and respected. So they've basically said, yes, this has been going on, but... you know, we defend it as it's all about player welfare.
Yeah, I think that player welfare stuff's gone way too far with this. Because basically saying, well, you can go and do what you want, boys. Mm. And if you've got any concerns, just go and see your doctor.
It's incredible.
Go and see your doctor and he'll do a test on you. And if you're not right to play, we'll put you out. You know what they should do? They've got some balls. Say what's really happened. Mm. No, we're going to arrest him because he's got a drug problem. Or...
something in
something in his system.
Mm.
So if you want to be open and honest about it, that doesn't pass the pub.
Yeah, no way it passes
but you
the pub.
You know the other side to this? If it legitimately does happen, you can, like, if you go, you go to a bar and your drink does get spiked, and then you go to your team doctor the next morning and say, "Doc, mate, I don't know what's happened. I think my drink was spiked, or I passed out last night, or I've woken up crook as a dog, whatever." The doctor says, "Rightio, let's go and have a blood test, or you got to do a drug test so I can see what's in your system," and it comes up positive.
Sure.
Then the rule is great for that. It does protect the player. The doctor is looking after the welfare of the athlete.
How many players would that be happening
to?
A week.
I know. But what I do care about is that player if it does happen to that point.
100%.
So that's where I'm saying I know by seeing what's happened in the past 48 hours, the system's flawed. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I just care for that player where you do want him to be protected or her to be protected, and you do want him or her to be able to keep that in private, because that is not drug cheating. That is not taking a substance that is illegal. 100%
right. They're saying that according to these reports, insiders say that about 100 current players have secret immunity from the three-strike policy. So 100 players currently? So
it's not 100. This is
not 100 spike drinks. Exactly. This is extraordinary. Basically, people are now going, and I saw some comments from Mick Malthouse and other coaches as well, because coaches are left in the dark about this as well. So they're now going, some players who, obviously have been ruled out for, probably on short notice. All of a sudden, they're probably questioning, going, "Were they really out for that?"
What's the doctor say to the coach?
You know what else the coaches and the clubs don't know? They don't know how many strikes. So you have three strikes, and I think you get 12 weeks. You might recruit someone in free agency in AFL, as it's called, or you sign someone in the NRL. Mm. They come over to you with two drug strikes. Then they go for the first time at your club. Then you find out they've been twice before. Then they miss whatever portion of the season. You're sitting there going, "Hang on, how are we not entitled to know what your background and history is?"
I've never been a part of a team where the team doctor could rule a player out without the captain or coach knowing why they're being ruled out. Like if John Orchard come to me and said, "Mate, just letting you know, Steve Smith is unavailable for the test match and I'm not giving you a reason," I'd be going, "I beg your pardon?" I'd be asking a million questions as to why one of our best players is now unavailable for the game. So how does that work? How does the doctor rule a player out day before the game without the coach knowing what's going on?
I can understand, Stan, if it was privacy, if you were a player and you went to the doctor and said, "Listen, Doc, I've got a drug issue. I'm in real trouble here. I need help." I can then understand a doctor going, "Well, you know what? This is between us and we are going to get you the help. And this is the plan I've got in place for you for the next month," or something like that. I understand that. But if you've just had a night out, you just go to your doctor and say, "Mate, just give me a quick test. I just want to see. I'm worried about if I play on the weekend, I get tested and I might go positive." I don't get how you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, well, even if you drink spiked.
I don't know how you're allowed to do that. If you've got an issue, mate, fair game. Go to the doctor, see him, get all the support that you need. But if you've just had a night out. But, mate, even if you drink
spiked, you wouldn't mind everyone knowing. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
You go straight
to the doctor and go, "Mate, I think I was spiked last night."
Yeah.
But the other thing is, because we know cocaine's not in your system for a long period of time, I'm finding it hard to believe a professional athlete
is on Wednesday, 48 hours Thursday night
out from a game on cocaine. I don't get that.
Say that again.
Well, cocaine is out of your system pretty quickly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know why a professional athlete would be on cocaine 48 hours before a game.
I don't understand why you don't.
What are you doing taking cocaine two days before a game?
Because there's no side effect for the player. Like, there's no hangover. Yeah, it's different to drinking.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you just be at home watching a movie or something like that?
It's their best mate's birthday party on Wednesday night.
Pup.
What, I'm not saying it's right. No, hang on. I don't think you're listening to what I'm saying.
Who's having a 40th on a Wednesday night?
No. So, mate, there's a function. Yeah. Mate, I could go out every Wednesday night to an event.
Yeah.
There's a million things on. Right. What I'm saying is the athlete's thinking, I'm not missing Wednesday night with my mates, but I've still got a game Friday.
Well, that's not professional.
100% it's not professional. I'm agreeing with that. But I'm explaining to you why it's happening.
Yeah. No.
That's what they're doing.
Well, you know what?
Because there's you could wake up the next morning after cocaine they'd feel like they could go play.
Protected I can't get my head around.
They're being protected.
Yes, I
why
know.
Why should they be protected under this policy? Well,
yeah. I can't cop being out somewhere 2 days before a game being on cocaine.
No, I'm not, sorry. Maybe this is not coming out of my mouth correctly. I'm just explaining to you. I thought you were saying... what are they doing? I'm just explaining what they're doing. I'm 100% agreeing with you. It's no different to drinking. Professional sport is professional sport. These days, if you're getting pissed 2 days before a game, mate, you're in the wrong business.
Mate.
And I would be saying if you're out partying, whether you're taking drinking alcohol or doing drugs, I'm 100% agreeing with you. I was just explaining, you're saying, what are they doing? They think they can do that because there's no... downtime. There's no hangover. Mm. There's no, I feel cooked the next day. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I get that because a lot of people won't drink alcohol and it doesn't put on weight and it doesn't affect them training. And I totally understand that. My point is, what are you doing two days before the game?
Okay. Well, who was the league that got done in his grand final?
The grand final.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got tested grand final day and it was in his system. So it happened... 48 hours prior.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a drug issue. Mm. If you've got a serious problem with drugs, then that is a problem.
Well, if you've got a serious problem with drugs, you're not playing professional sport through that period. You're going and seeking... You're probably sitting in rehab or getting help. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't think you could be playing a season of professional sport these days if you got a drug problem. I think you'd be seeking help.
Yeah.
Also, I think you said it best. This whole policy just doesn't pass the pub test. Give us a call, 1353 53 0419 767 272. Coming up on the show this morning, Adam Pengilly soon, Evan Priest as well, to talk some golf. Phil Moss, what's going on over here?
Pup, can you explain that on my screen? What's happening on the text line?
It's scrolling down at a rapid pace.
Yeah,
and I haven't touched it. You can't stop it.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened there.
There's a ghost in here.
I'll tell you what. We're going to start again. We're going to start the show again. X in the top right corner.
Yep.
We'll reload the page.
If you can reload, Jared, that'd be great.
That's right. Just give it a few moments.
Pretty good at this.
And we'll be back in about 10 seconds.
You're all very tech savvy, aren't you?
I'm not. No? I promise you I'm not. I can
just
get,
compared to us.
I can get by.
I'm terrible.
I'm terrible.
I can get by.
Right.
But I have rung the IT department in this joint an unbelievable amount of times. Don't you worry about
it. Doesn't need to be blown up, does it?
Oh, seriously.
Let's start again.
Phil Moss... to talk football. Who else we got? Blocker. He's in for an hour. In an hour's time.
I'm looking forward to talking to Blocker because he had some really interesting and strong words to say on NRL 360 last night.
How can blokes like Steve Roach and Benny Elias be basically forgotten by that club?
Well, that's what I'm going to ask him because I think that you've got to remember your history. And I know they're the West Tigers, not Balmain. And not Western Suburbs.
But it was a merger.
It was a merger, so you got to embrace both cultures from both teams in the past. But it seems like they've never done it, which surprises me.
Mm. Yeah, I think where you've come from
is a big part of your future,
mate. I think
knowing your history,
your history and tradition of anything, I think, is very important. I think that's how you. That's how you get that. That's a big part of getting those goosebumps when you talk about your team or you put that logo on your head or on the crest, that crest on your shirt, on your chest. Mm. You know, I think, the people that have played, especially with where the current game is, cricket's the same, without what a lot of people did in the past, mate, you're not living the lifestyle you're living. You're not making the amount of money you're making. You're not flying at the front of the airline. You're not staying at beautiful hotels like we had. That's why, again, Alan Border to me, he's the godfather of Australian cricket. what he did for the game, and players well before AB as well, but through that era, mate, they played for free. They worked their backside off to get Australian cricket, particularly where it is today, to set us up. So, yeah, I think it's I don't know how that's even possible. How there's not the history of Western Suburbs Magpies and the history of Balmain Tigers that is the foundation of the West Tigers. You come together and use that as your your heritage.
Most definitely.
So Blocks in an hour. Jared Daffy will get some markets off him, and Josh Kennedy Swan's great, and we'll get his reaction to this just incredible story, this off-the-books drug testing that the AFL's been, it's defended, hasn't it, yesterday. So it's been dominating certainly the airwaves in the AFL-dominated states, this story to come out in the last 24 hours or so. Back page that we didn't get to in the Daily Telegraph, clear cut how Ivan rules the Roost over Robbo. So it's not the Roosters and the Panthers. And, they've got a great record against pretty much everyone in recent times, the Panthers. But they've won their last eight against the Roosters. The previous match was the infamous Jarryl Maria Hargreaves-Spencer Lenu blow-up. And, of course, now they're teammates. Lenu's out with that suspension. Maria Hargreaves playing tonight. 30-6 that match was. In round 15 last year. But a nice story as well with 23-year-old Maverick Geyer, son of Mark Loz, to debut for the Panthers. Yeah. A good bit of family history there.
And the nephew of Brandy. So great bloodlines. And I'm sure MG would have been, very proud of his son. I saw some things that he said about him and also on radio yesterday. But it'd be a very proud moment for the family, as it always is when someone makes their debut. And it's a hard team to crack into, isn't it, Penrith, given what they've been able to do. So he's got some ability. Craig Bellamy from the Melbourne Storm chased him a couple of years ago, but he said no, he wanted to stay at Penrith and work his way through and try and pull on that Penrith shirt. And he gets an opportunity tonight. So congratulations to him, and I'm sure the family would be very proud. But the Panthers have to do it without Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai. Gets an opportunity to step up without Cleary. Brad Snyder comes into the team, who I think's a good player. I think he's a really good player. The limited times I've seen him play with the Raiders, I think he's handled himself really well. He went over there to the English Super League and he's come back, no doubt, a better player for it. So this will be a tight game, but the Roosters were very impressive last week against South. Just the intent they started with and over there in Brisbane, over there in Vegas against the Brisbane Broncos. I like the way they defended that night. They had a bit of a hiccup against Manly at Brookvale, but there won't be too many teams that go to Brookie this year and walk away with the 2 points. So they're in for a big year, the Roosters. And the market suggests that a lot of people think the same way because they're firming all the time. I think they're on the third line of betting in terms of premiership markets, around $6, I think. So they're a very good side. They get Keary back. Sam and Smith will miss the game, and he was very impressive last week. But Keary is back, so that's a big inclusion for the Roosters.
Yeah, you're right, $6.19-6 since the start of the season. The Roosters on the third line are betting for the premiership with Penrith $3.75 and Brisbane at $5. And that match tonight has the Roosters $1.52 with Tab, Penrith $2.55. And the Panthers are +5.5 at the line there. And yes, you mentioned Sandon Smith, Loz, out for up to 6 weeks with an elbow injury. They do hope to have Lindsay Collins back possibly next week from a hamstring strain, Trent Robinson said yesterday. But Walker and Keary, good to go on the halves for them. And they'll be opposing Brad Schneider and Jerome Luai tonight with, of course, Nathan Cleary out. So Schneider plays. Ali on today, question mark on the text line. Yes, I neglected to mention that Michael Maxworthy and Ali Mosley will be on the show in the last half hour of the program this morning as well. Just on the back page of the Courier Mail as well, a picture of a couple of the Brisbane Lions players ahead of their grand final rematch against Collingwood tonight, but also the six shooters, two Maroon hopefuls set for Suncorp Stadium showdown. So just some origin stories starting to creep in. I guess with the Kevin Munster situation, And I did see yesterday Frank Panisi said they're hoping he could be back next week. He's got to tick some boxes.
Big game next week too. They take on the Broncos.
They do on Thursday night. But sort of this article in the Courier Mail just saying, well, if obviously Munster doesn't end up coming up, could this be a bit of a shootout for an origin spot between Ezra Mam and Tom Dearden moving forward towards, of course, Origin 1, which is still, what, two and a half months away. But and also just the situation, I guess, with Reece Walsh as well. And again, they hope to have him back sooner than what initially thought. But just adds another element, the longer he's out, the more it could play into Kalyn Ponga's hands, you would think. Depends how long they're out for.
Yeah,
though, as well,
I think if Reece Walsh comes back and plays some good football, there's no reason why they can't both play in the same team. I think I read somewhere or heard someone talk, and it might have been Billy, say that he would be reluctant to play both in the one side. Yeah. I think he said they could do it. I don't know whether it was Billy or Cameron Smith, but I heard someone involved in that Queensland setup say that, which my ears pricked a little bit. And I thought, well,
because he'd have them both in there.
Well, I think if they both play as well as we know they can, you've got to find a spot for them somewhere, whether it's in the starting side or in the 17. But they're too good of players to leave out. But that'll be something that they will work out, no doubt about it. But Ezra Mann, I don't think, in particular after seeing him in that grand final, I think his start to the season hasn't been great. And I think last year he started to perform really early in the season. There was a bit of momentum and a lot of talk about him. And he finished the year off exceptionally well. I don't think he started anywhere near as well as he has done
as well as he finished.
So yeah. I think it's a big game for him because if you're picking Queensland at the moment, if no Munster's there, you'd have Tom Dearden.
Dearden's there for sure. Mm. Yeah. A couple of Queensland texts here. Can he throw Sam Walker into Queensland? Origin halves mix asks Curley at Mackay. Daly Cherry Evans will be a walk-up start, though.
Yes, most definitely. But they had Sam Walker in and around that team last year. So I think if something happened to Daly, Sam Walker would be in contention to play. But then they'd might have to make a decision on whether they combine Dearden and Ezra Mann as the halves. But there's another one here about if we're talking about Ezra versus Tommy Dearden. Is Tommy all day based on defence? Tommy's just tough and competitive. And I think his first Origin game, he showed that he belonged. And all the things you talk about as being an Origin player where you just compete, that suits Tommy Dearden down to the ground. It's not all, well, Origin, it's not about the big plays. It's about the small plays being effective and doing them more consistent than the opposition. And that's something that he does really well.
Thanks, Craig from Ipswich, for sending that one through. Adam Pengilly for the City Morning Herald. Good morning to you. How are you, mate?
Morning, boys. Going well, Middo. It feels like a Friday today, doesn't it, with the long Easter weekend coming up.
Adam, I know this is a league and racing segment, but I don't know whether you're across it, but I'm sure you would have heard it. What have you made of the AFL drug policy?
Yeah. It's funny you ask the question, Loz. I was actually thinking about this last night in the car driving home from work. The thing I'm most stunned about is the AFL has just admitted it. They've just come out yesterday and admitted it happens. And call me naive or whatever, but I just would have thought there'd be no way that the governing body would be involved in helping do these, I suppose, off-the-book tests. And having players willingly pull out of games for fake reasons for fear of being tested. I'm stunned by the whole thing. Absolutely stunned by the whole thing.
I am too. And then, you know, there was up to 100 players that have done it and they're talking about player welfare and all that type of stuff. But
trying to take the high moral ground.
I'm just shaking my head going, how do you get away with that?
I don't know how they do, Loz. And it's a fascinating story, isn't it? It's interesting to see what's going to come out of it in the next couple of months, because it's almost like you're not treating the issue, are you? Like it's just a cover up. It's smothering the actual issue of players taking illicit drugs. And
well, you either got a policy or not, don't you? You either
got a
drug policy where there's an opportunity for you to not take drugs, but if you take drugs and you get a test where it comes back positive, well, that's your first strike and this is the penalty. Then if you go again, there shouldn't be a way that you ring up and go off site and get a test done, and then, oh, mate, just stay out the week and you'll be back next week. I don't understand it.
That's unbelievable. All right, let's talk some footy, some NRL then with this game tonight. 5.5 points is the line, Penrith the plus. How do you see it playing out as the Panthers try and make do without Nathan Cleary?
Yeah, massive blow, isn't it, Mido, missing Nathan Cleary tonight at Allianz Stadium. And it's been got a bit of press this week, but what about the record that Penrith have had over the Roosters in the last 3 or 4 years? And to be fair, they've got a good record over pretty much every team in the competition, given how dominant they've been for a number of years. But they've particularly been dominant against the Roosters, and they gave the Roosters a couple of touch-ups last year in particular. So I think there's a point to prove for Trent Robinson and his team. I'm going to tip the Roosters tonight. I think it'll be a bit closer than what people suggest. I don't think it's going to be a particularly high-scoring game. You can just see Ivan Cleary having his team really wound up and putting in a big defensive showing tonight to keep the Roosters to maybe 16 or 18 points. But I do struggle to see where the Panthers are going to get their points tonight without Nathan. Obviously, Jerome goes into that primary playmaker role and Brad Schneider goes into the halves. I can just see them struggling to score tries tonight. And with their big outside backs, the Roosters, I think they'll be really hard to beat.
What about Good Friday clash, buddy? Will we see the best of the Rabbitohs?
Oh, I don't think we'll see the best of the Rabbitohs, Clarkie, because they've been absolutely nowhere near their best for a long time now, have they, really? But they've just got to win. There's no two ways about it. It doesn't matter what sort of performance they put in. They just need the 2 points. That's absolutely imperative for them. And if they can't win a game like this, well, then I don't want to be too dramatic and say it's season over, but 0-4, it's a long, long way back from that. How do you get back into the mix when you start a season that poorly, and particularly losing against a team like the Bulldogs? Like, the Bulldogs will be up for this game. I've been impressed with their gradual improvement in the first 3 rounds. I know they've only won one match so far, but I thought each week they've showed some pretty good signs. And you can just see Cameron Serrato is starting to finally build something there at Canterbury. But purely for the fact how desperate Souths are and the class they've got in that team, I'm going to side with them in a very close game at Accor Stadium, but not with a great deal of confidence.
What about Saturday, the Tankard Stakes? How do you see this unfolding?
Yeah, good race, Loz. Listen, I'm going to stick with post-impressionist here. I thought he was extremely impressive last week winning the Mannion Cup. Having said that, there's got to be some sort of concern for a European horse, obviously backing up, running twice in the space of 7 days, and obviously going to wait for age now, which is going to be a bit of a test. I think Buckaroo's probably the horse that's going to be his main danger. Since he's come to Australia, this horse, there was some pretty significant wraps on him. He hasn't quite broken through yet, but you'd see last week he's building up towards something. At wait for age, he thinks he's going to be suited against a couple of these other horses. So no great surprise. Probably the two ex-European horses are going to have the major say in this race. I think Tom Kitten certainly adds a lot of interest to the race, being a three-year-old running with just 54 kilos. But he's just turning into one of those horses, isn't he? Just excuse after excuse and not quite getting himself in the right position. So I'll stay with post-impressions from Buckaroo, but wouldn't be overly surprised if Tom Kitten runs a big race.
Yeah, really looking forward to seeing this Kiwi filly, which Loz has to win in the multi, in the Vinery Stud Stakes or Kestrel, which, that New Zealand Derby triumph, well, when it won by, 4 lengths, and won the Karakamulian as well quite nicely, and she could be something quite special. $1.60, nice and short, Zardozzi. Good filly, $4.20. Certainly the main danger, you'd say, Adam.
Yeah, she might be pretty special, Orchestral Mido, but my question is, it's all about price. Do you want to take $1.60 about this filly having her first run in Australia?
Absolutely not.
So for that point, I'm definitely in Zardozzi's camp in the Vinery Stud on the weekend. I thought she was fantastic winning second up over a trip that was clearly short of her best. She was really strong through the line late, and third up 2,000 metres looks absolutely perfect for her. No knock on the Kiwi filly, just apart from the price. I've got a side with Zardozzi, and she's going to be my best bet on the program, Mido. So that's race 7, number 2, Zardozzi.
Okay, 7-2 Zardozzi. $4.20 is Adam's best bet taking on Orchestral. And you like one in the Raiders. Well, the Raiders and Sharks, you've got a tip as well.
Yeah, I'm going to side with the Raiders, Mido. Listen, I thought they'd been really good for the first 3 weeks of the competition. Tough game against the Warriors last week. A bit of travel to overcome, obviously. They've got a longish sort of turnaround. And I know the Sharks are traditionally hard to beat at Shark Park, but that forward pack is absolutely decimated at the moment. I think the Raiders forward pack can get over the top of them. So at $2.45, I think they're well and truly over the odds, Canberra. So happy to be with them. My other bet in the NRL on the weekend, I hate to say it. It pains me to say it, but I think the Dragons have got some serious issues with their defence, particularly on the right-hand side. I think Luke Brooks at around $3.10 is a really nice anytime try scorer bet. Manly have looked great in attack so far this season. They'll have some joy down their left side of attack where Luke Brooks and Tolu Kola is. So I'm happy to be with Brooks at $3.10 to cross the stripe at some stage on Saturday evening.
I like it. A little anytime try scorer, Luke Brooks, $3.10, just on... Richmond Barrel says, Saints v Manly at Wollongong, not the only clash this weekend. They're up against each other in the first grade cricket grand final, pup, at Cricket Central. Manly are in the grand final in 4 out of 5 grades. Well done to them. Yep. So there you go.
Great effort. Gosh,
end of March, aren't we? Start of April.
Yeah, amazing.
First grade cricket final.
Yeah. Mido, just quickly on the great cricket grand finals. I know there's a lot of interest with Manly and St George, but Pup and I have got our eyes firmly focused on the second grade fixture because Western Suburbs are in a grand final, Mido, playing Bankstown in the second grade game, which I think kicks off tomorrow. That's right, in Pup. Kicks off tomorrow, I'm pretty sure.
Correct. Been a long time, buddy, since you made a GF, that's for sure.
How long has it been since Western won a grade comp? It'd be 30-odd years, wouldn't it? It's been a long time.
Western
Suburbs.
I know.
Like cricket heartland.
I know.
What's going on?
Don't remind us.
Well, I probably all started when you ruined Adam's career.
started when I turned up to the club back in the 80s. I've ruined it since then.
Great stuff, mate. You have a great Easter.
Thanks, boys. We'll chat next week.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Evan Priest, not too far away. Just some results yesterday. And we spoke to Ante Juric, the Sydney FC women's coach, yesterday. They got beat by Canberra United there at McKellar Park, a 1-0 courtesy of a goal from Michelle Heyman. And that means that it all comes down to the final round in the race for the Premier's plate, with Sydney FC 1 point ahead of Melbourne City. And in the final round, they both play on Sunday. Sydney FC up against Melbourne Victory at Leichhardt. Melbourne City have to go to Perth to play the Glory. So that will all be decided on Sunday evening, Easter Sunday evening, who gets the Premier's plate in the ALW. Now, also yesterday in the NBA, Anthony Davis had an incredible match for the Lakers, 34 points, 23 rebounds. He was on court, actually, for nearly 53 minutes as the Lakers won 128 to 124 over the Bucks in double overtime. They're in Milwaukee, and there's still no LeBron James for the Lakers as well, as he nurses an ankle injury. Just also in basketball, 42-year-old Lauren Jackson has been picked in an extended squad of 26 ahead of the Paris Games. So 12 in the end will go to the Olympics. So much for amazing, international retirement in February. She's obviously going, stuff this. I'll be a long time retired. May as well just try and make it another run at another. I think it'd be her fifth games if she makes it.
Didn't she say it was about she didn't want to spend that time away from her kids, family? So there's obviously been some discussion had there, and maybe they're traveling
sorted
now
some
with
stuff
her,
out.
which is a great result.
Mm. Now, also, some people do some ridiculous things. I'm just reading about a bloke called Russ Cook. I'm not sure where he's from.
What's he done, Russ?
Russ. He's spent the last year running the entire length of Africa. He's averaged more than a marathon a day for 340 straight days.
Aussie?
I think he's from the UK. So at the moment, he's run 15,553 Ks, done 368 marathons. That's the equivalent of gone through 15 countries in Africa. So he's been running for 340 days and has 11 left to go.
What charity is he doing it for?
He's raised
a challenge.
He's raised £269,000 for charity at this stage. I'm just going to his.
I'll take my hat off for anyone that's able to do those type of things, Mido, because a couple of reasons. One, they do it for the charity and raise awareness and money. But be able to put your body through that pain, because I don't care who you are, at some stage it has to be tough, doesn't it? It has to be tough.
Running the mental strength.
Yeah.
He's from the UK.
Yep.
But incredible. Nearly run the whole length of Africa. There you go. Mm.
What happened to us? No, remember your idea? We're going
to bike ride.
Yeah, the bike ride. Yeah, we're going to e-bike, though.
Generally,
we cycling or
generally
e-bike?
Exactly what happens in here.
Right.
We have an idea. Probably takes about 4.5 years to get through the system, and then we get a no. That's generally what happens. Yeah. Where did we move into the SCG? Yeah. What happened with that?
Were we cycling or were we e-bike? What were
no,
we doing?
Fat boy bike. So combination of, we get a bit of help, but we're still pedaling. Well, a couple of stops, but yeah, it's in the system.
In the system.
Just
beautiful.
Yeah. By the time we both have hung our boots up, we'll get a no.
Why have we got Trackside on in the studio here, Loz? Are you having a bet?
No,
I'll tell you why. This is how vain I am this morning, boys. I put it on because I want to see myself on 360.
Oh, because someone texted in bagging you before.
Yeah, someone was texting in saying I looked tired and I needed a spell.
Okay.
So I just want to critique
myself. Having a spell this weekend, right?
I am, yeah. I'm having it freshen up. Ignore so that's the reason why I changed the channel.
Loss, don't let them get up. They got to me yesterday.
I was ordinary yesterday.
I was grumpy pants yesterday.
Well, I nearly had a crash coming here. I think that that's put me in a bad mood.
How does anyone nearly have a crash at 4 a.m, Matt? There's not another car on the road.
Well, you know what happened?
It wasn't his fault.
Yeah, it wasn't. So a car, so I'm coming, you know, go down the Roseville Bridge.
Mm, bridge, yeah.
And then you come up that road and you come to your first set of lights.
Yeah.
Someone came through the lights.
Red light?
Yeah.
Ooh.
As I was coming.
Ooh, dear.
Yeah. And I had to go up on the medium strip. Just turn straight into the inside lane. It's a...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't happy.
And at 4 a.m, you're not...
You're lucky I was awake.
Yeah.
You see, I'm sort of got a bit of radio on. I've got the window down trying to get the air on the face. But anyway, I put it on because I want to see how tight I look.
Okay. I'm sure you're looking sharp.
Yeah. So I'll agree with whoever said that when I have a look. Mm. That's the reason, Jared.
Okay.
Mm. So I don't know why the Trackside one is on, though.
G'day, Evan. How are you going?
Good, Middo. I'm fired up. We're now about 2 weeks away from the Masters, so... All systems go, mate.
Bring it on. And tell us about this Australian Golf Digest article on why governing bodies in Australia don't listen to Liv and Greg Norman.
Yeah, the Shark has come out absolutely swinging, or biting, I should say, this morning. He's come out and said a couple of interesting things that basically, in the early days of negotiations between Liv Golf and the Australian governing bodies, that that the Australian bodies weren't willing to negotiate or listen to the offers from Liv Golf, and he made some pretty powerful comments. He's come out and said that when we presented our concept, there wasn't any logic used on behalf of the other institutions, because what they did was prejudge us under the guidance of some other institutions. That prejudgment has gotten them nowhere. He's kind of come out swinging there.
Shark. Not happy. Mm-hmm. Buddy, back on the Masters, is Tiger in? Has he been confirmed?
Tiger is confirmed. He's in the field.
Beautiful.
He's not going to play an event leading up to that. Just play the Genesis Invitational at Riviera. But he's going to come in underdone, and it's going to be exciting to see him teed up, but he's not going to be a factor. And he may make the cut if the weather permits, if it's warm weather and it doesn't affect his injuries. But other than that, it's just going to be a bit of a ceremonial play from Tiger Woods.
And what about on the Aussie front, mate? Who have we got in?
We've got six Aussies this year. It's quite a healthy contingent, because other years we've had about between four and five players. But we've got five pros and one amateur, led by, of course, Cameron Smith, who was tied second only 4 years ago, and had a third and another top 10, won the British Open. We've got Jason Day, major winner. We've got Adam Scott, our only Masters winner in 2013. And we've also got, Cameron Davis is always a solid bet. By the way, he's 151-1, so I would be maybe having a bit of a nibble at him. So, just a solid contingent of six players.
Yeah. And when does the top 50 world ranking cutoff for the Masters happen?
We got you, Evan.
Ooh, too tough a question. That's what I like to do.
We'll get him back shortly. He's just cut out there. But, of course, we've got the Houston Open this week. Just
Do you know the answer to that, Middo?
Monday.
Monday?
Yeah.
Geez, that's very good. Hmm. I'll double check with Evan. I'm just not taking...
How's your golf going, Middo?
Oh, well,
I saw you having a hit the other day.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I'm what one good shot, on? Three bad shots. I've got to put my handicap in because at the moment I'm doing so many golf days where you play four ball Ambrose. So you
they're need the best. To fill they're the best ones. I played last Friday.
For non-golfers, they're the best ones.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Someone's just got to save you every time. We couldn't make a putt. I was with Reynolds, Marlowe, and our fearless leader, Will. And we had, I reckon, 13 birdie putts. We did not sink one shanked between us.
Okay.
It was just embarrassing. So back to the drawing board. Anyway, Evan is joining us again. So, Laws, what was your question again?
I just wanted to know the top 50 world ranking cutoff for the Masters. When does that occur? Mido reckons it's Monday.
Yeah, that's right, boys. It's Monday. Apologies for that. I was getting massive feedback and my own voice is echoing in my ears. So,
it's a beautiful feeling, that.
So basically the last two stages to get into the Masters from here, the field isn't finalised yet. It's sitting at about, I think, 90 players at the moment. It probably will push to about 93. The world rankings, they take the top 50 as of Monday, which is Sunday here, March 31st, top 50 in the world. Any players who aren't already eligible for the Masters will be invited. And then, of course, the winner of the Texas Open the following week usually gets in. We actually had an Aussie win that little very last ticket one year. Matt Jones, Sydney boy, chipped in a playoff to win the Shell Houston Open at the time to get into the Masters in 2014. But so we've got those spots remaining. And just before my own voice was echoing horribly in my ear, I was telling you guys about the six Aussies. Of those six, three really good chances. Jason Day, Cameron Smith, Adam Scott. Cameron Smith, of course, and Jason Day and Adam Scott being major champions. So we're setting a really healthy six-strong contingent over there. Should be really good. The odds are up on the TAB at the moment. Cameron Smith, $26. Mm. Not amazing value for not a lot of form from him this year, but certainly Jason Day and Minwoo Lee, $31, are both really good bets for those guys. So, all systems go for the Masters. We're counting down to Augusta, teeing off on the 11th of April, which will be a Thursday, late Thursday night in Australia. So it should be exciting.
As far as the Houston Open this weekend is concerned, Scotty Scheffler's I was saying yesterday to Dick Fain, this is like Tiger Woods prices in his prime. $3.25, Scheffler, to win the tournament. I see Rane Gibson is there amongst Aussie contenders. So how do you see this Houston Open playing out this week?
Yeah, one of the more kind of sleepy, boring events on the PGA Tour, but they've managed to wrangle a bit of a field, Jason Day being one of the big names as well. I was going to put this question out on social media last night, you know, maybe some Aussie bookmakers that have a history, you know, right in front of them, but I don't know if Tiger Woods ever got below $3 in his prime. I suspect he would have been in a $2.80, $2.90 market at some of the events that he really won, you know, seven or eight times, but Scotty Scheffler at $3.25. I mean, they are NRL odds for, you know, a pretty shitty team in the competition up against the Storm or Penrith or something like that. But $3.25 for a golfer in a field of 144. I don't know if I want any of that. But he's to lead after the first round, which is a very good chance of doing, is $7 for Scotty Scheffler. So I would have a nibble at that. And then, of course, we've got top Aussie. There's not a lot of value in Jason Day. I think he's at about $1.57. So definitely going with Aaron Baddeley. I think I tipped him correctly last week to be the top Aussie at around the $5 mark. He's $7 this week, Aaron Baddeley, for our top Aussie, the veteran. There's also a nice little bet in Sahith Theegala, Californian bloke, been playing well, was in the top 10 at the Players' Championship, and he lives in this area in Texas. So I would have a go at him. He's $17, playing some good golf. And then, of course, another Texan boy, born and raised Texan boy, Will Zalatoris, is paying $19 to win. He's been in contention, including at the Genesis Invitational recently, and he's also $4.50 for a top five and $2.80 for a top 10. So three good options there. Those are my bets for the week. Nothing sexy, but you know, with the stacked field, top heavy field, I should say, the way it is, I really think one of the big names is going to win this week at the Houston Open.
Love it, Evan. Thanks so much, mate. Enjoy your Easter.
Thank you. You too.
Good morning, Meadow. How are you?
Very well, thank you. The Socceroos got the job done, and in more impressive fashion, you'd have to say, in Canberra. 5-0 after their 2-0 triumph at Combank against Lebanon. What did you make of the performance the other night? Craig Goodwin's a good player, isn't he?
Oh, isn't he? He's certainly doesn't start with good for no reason. He's outstanding on the left-hand side. Just the quality of his delivery in general play, set pieces, He's got a telepathic understanding with Harry Suter at set pieces. Harry didn't score the other night, should have. Look, ultimately, I think, you know, first things first, we set a new crowd record, which is fantastic, 25,000 down there at GIO Stadium. And it was a great atmosphere. I think we set the foundation first half, you know, a little bit off the pace, I think, with moving the ball and ball speed and things like that. But I think Arnie rectified that at half time, showed them a few clips, gave them a little bit of a rev up, and I thought the second half was outstanding. Some great goals, some fluent football, numbers in the box, all the things that you look for. And great to see Josh Nisbet from the A-League get his debut, Patrick Yazbek. So he's building, you know, there's some younger players coming through now to build that depth. And the Oli Roos are going great as well under Tony Vidmar. They've had a good tournament overseas as well. So there's depth now starting to build, which is great signs looking ahead to 2026.
So what's the next steps for the Socceroos then, Mossy? Does it, obviously it gets harder then? Now, does it?
Yes, it does, Loz. Obviously, getting the closer you get, the harder it gets. But we still should comfortably get through the next phase, which is the final phase, the third phase of qualifying. There's still a fourth phase if we don't get through automatically in the third phase. But there's three groups of six. The top two from each of those groups go through automatically to the next World Cup. The door's not out yet, but yeah. That starts in September.
Yeah. And that's just against Asian countries, is that right?
Correct. If we needed the fourth round, then you start to play against the South American, Central American, North American nations, and maybe Oceania. Look, nothing comes for free. Nothing comes easily in international football. But I'd be very, very surprised if we don't qualify automatically from the third round.
What'd you make of some of the last of the Euro qualifiers where Poland beat Wales, heartbreak for Wales in a penalty shootout at home. Georgia scenes as they beat Greece on penalty. That's their first major tournament that they've reached, the Georgians. And Ukraine, what a story, beating Iceland 2-1.
Yeah, some incredible, as you said, I think you just summarised it well there, Mido. It's you know, it was the pointy end, waiting to see who was going to get through. As you said, heartbreak for Wales. I thought they were in the box seat to get through as well. So that was devastating for all our Welsh listeners who were supporting them to get through to the Euros. But look, ultimately, I think the teams that you would expect to get through in the end got through. Italy, this is a massive tournament for Italy. If you think about what's happened to them over the last couple of cycles, you know, missing two World Cups in a row, winning the last Euros against England. They kick off their tournament against Albania. So, you know, to restore some pride in Italian football, even though they've got the last Euro title under their belt, this is a massive tournament looming for them.
What about the A-League, buddy? Saturday should be a beauty. Sydney FC v Mariners. And then Easter Monday, I think it is. Wanderers got MacArthur.
Yeah, that's right, Clarkie. This is a big one for Sydney FC. They really need this is a chance to make a statement at home, because the Mariners, as we know, are on a fantastic run this season after a rocky start. I reckon it'll be a great crowd out there on Saturday night. The Mariners will be, you know, they won't come with any fear whatsoever to Allianz Stadium, and that's something Sydney FC will have to deal with. You know, Allianz used to be a fortress. It used to be a very intimidating place. Look, it still is to an extent, but the Mariners just hold no fear. So against that opposition, specifically on Saturday night, I don't think the fear factor or intimidation factor will play a part. So Sydney will have to be at their best to get over the Mariners. As you mentioned, on Monday, MacArthur, Western Sydney, the Battle of the West, if you like. Should be a rip of Western Sydney. Just started to claw back some pride last week the week before. We've had the FIFA break, obviously. Some pride after being absolutely walloped by Melbourne City. They got that win over there in the West against Perth, which was good for their confidence after such a big loss. So this will be a tough one. I'm struggling to split them, actually. I think this might be a score draw.
What about in the Premier League this weekend, Mossy?
Oh, Loz. All eyes are on the Etihad Monday morning as they host Arsenal. does this define the season? Well, let's just put this in perspective. This time last season, Arsenal had a 10-point lead and dropped 15 points in the last 10 games to really bottle it, really, if you put it in plain English. Have they learnt their lessons? Are they a better side mentally for this run home, 10 games to go now? Included in those loss of points in the last 10 games last year was a thumping at the hands of Manchester City. So this game has extra meaning in more ways than one. I think if they can go to the Etihad and get the 3 points or even a point, I think that's a big step forward, telling everyone that they've come to the next level and they can actually go on and win it. But I think you'd have to say this time of the season with the injuries Liverpool have got, Manchester City maybe with a couple of injuries, Kyle Walker, John Stones coming out of the England international midweek, potentially missing this one. You'd still probably put your money on Manchester City, which I have in my multi, funnily enough, but Arsenal can make a real statement.
Righto, what is the multi?
Let's go. I've got pull it up, but a lot of research has gone into this one, as you would expect, Loz, because there's a fair bit of pressure on this week. But let's go with Newcastle to beat West Ham into Crystal Palace to beat Nottingham Forest away from home into Manchester City to get the 3 points over Arsenal in a very, very tight one.
Okay. It's a huge game, as you mentioned. Manchester City, let me find it here. Okay, so Newcastle over West Ham into Palace, which is really adding value to win away at Forest, and City to win at home against Arsenal. That treble paying $10.94 currently with Tab.
A little bit juicy.
Yeah, very juicy. And Loz has just checked himself out. He was on TV last night and he was worried about a text which sort of said that, you know, you weren't looking the best,
yeah.
But on your, you know,
it wasn't too
visual
bad.
Just then, you've been sharp, happy better, with it.
No,
good
I was
suit,
happy.
You were fine.
Good shirt, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think I don't know. Have you ever seen Loz not looking his best? Like even at 4:30 a.m. when he rocks up for work to do all his research.
We've all had our mornings.
It doesn't happen very often, Mossy. But I agree with what you're saying.
Sometimes you forget to shave, Mossy, for the whole week.
There's been some Monday mornings, you and I, pup.
I'm a bit dusty as we speak, actually. I'm a little hairier than I should be, but that'll be gone overnight. Don't worry about that.
No, I don't. Clarkie, you know what the headline's going to be front page now that you've said that.
Yeah, I know. Probably fake hair as well, I would imagine. Had a hair transplant on my face. Have you? Probably. That's why I went to Pakistan.
Happy Easter, Philip.
Same to you, Mido and boys, and to all our listeners. Have a great weekend and stay safe on the roads, and we'll talk next week.